Well, it's a pleasure and an honor to be with you tonight and to be here at Cleveland Baptist Church. And I went yesterday soul winning with the group for the first time, and I had to make sure I said the right church name as I knocked on the doors. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about myself before we get into the message, and I'm looking at the clock to make sure I end on time. Amen? That's very important to the pastor. And so I want to thank, first of all, Cleveland Baptist Church for allowing my wife and our daughter to come here and just get a little bit of a break, a little bit of a sabbatical, so to speak, as we decide where the Lord would have us to land next. And I thank Pastor Folger and all the staff here, and everyone's just been wonderful, and a blessing and an encouragement to us. And I do thank those that participated in the SMITE program this past July. Our church had the greatest summer since we had been there that we could imagine. I mean, we were bursting at the seams. We had people coming from all over the place, and we were in a church that was in the middle of nowhere. It was a rural place, and for those of you that went to SMITE, you know that. It was basically in the middle of nowhere, and we believe that the great summer that we had was largely in part due to the SMITE campaign, all the work that was done that week. So we thank you all for that. And then also, I just want to introduce, tell you a little bit about myself and my wife. We were in Orlando, which is where we met Frank and Rebecca Suglio, and y'all forgive me for that, amen. But we've made a good friendship with them, and they've just been a blessing to us, and we appreciate them. And before we were in Orlando, Florida, we were in Baltimore, Maryland, which is where my wife and I grew up. And as I introduce myself to people in Cleveland, I say, I grew up in Baltimore. Please forgive me. Don't hold that against me. But everyone's been kind. Everyone's been great. We were on staff at a church there, Rosedale Baptist Church, for 8 years. We attended the church as laymen. We were there for a total of 16 years. And so the Lord moved us to Florida, and then eventually he moved us to New York, and now we're trying to figure out where the Lord would have us next. And in the meantime, we'll be here at Cleveland Baptist Church doing all we can to be an encouragement to you all, and you all have been a tremendous encouragement to us. Thank you for that. Now, my wife and I, we met in high school, and whenever I preach for the first time at a particular church, I tell folks how my wife and I met. And we met in high school, and we attended the same high school for all 4 years, and she did not look at me until our senior year. She says I was nothing to look at, and I said, okay, I understand that. And the thing was, we had mutual friends. We knew of each other, but we had never been introduced. We had mutual friends, a friend named Ronnie Green, friend named Keith Morgan. They were friends of mine, and they were friends of hers, even though her and I did not know each other. And so they decided, because they wanted to, play Cupid and put us together. And so, they talked to her and they talked to me, and so they brought us together. We've been together ever since. We got married shortly after we graduated. We have four daughters. Our oldest daughter is 24. I know I don't look old enough to have a 24-year-old. I hear that all the time. But we were 18 years old when we got married. We started our family. And so we thank the Lord for all that he's done in and through our lives. And he's blessed us. And as we were counting our blessings earlier, I was thinking about Trina and our four daughters, Jasmine, Julia, Jocelyn, and Joy. Our oldest is 24. She's married. She graduated from West Coast Baptist College. She married a fellow named Luke Dean. And he's an assistant pastor at his dad's church there in Bangor, Maine. Our second oldest daughter is Julia, and she's married to a young man that she met in our school that we were a part of in Rosedale Baptist Church there in Baltimore. They knew each other since, I don't know, eighth or ninth grade, and they had determined that they were going to get married from that point, from the moment they met. And so it worked out. And so now they're living in Baltimore. Our third oldest is Jocelyn. She's 21. She's here with us. And our youngest is Joy. She's 19, and she lives in Baltimore with my mom. And so that's our family, and we're here trying to serve the Lord, and hopefully we can be encouragement to you tonight. If you have your Bible, if you will, open to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. And we're going to read verses 1 through 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. The Bible says in verse 1, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God." And let's bow together for a word of prayer real quickly, and we'll get right into the message. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight, Lord, first of all, that you would cleanse our hearts, our minds, and our souls of anything that would hinder our fellowship with you tonight. Lord, we come to you asking you to speak to each and every heart. And Lord, we pray, dear Father, that you would help us to receive exactly what we need for our lives this evening. Lord, whatever spiritual meat, whatever spiritual encouragement each and every person that's here tonight might need, Lord, I don't know what it is, Lord, but you do. And Father, we pray that you would use your word, Lord, to encourage us. And Lord, to help us to be better ministers and better servants for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul, in the book of 1 Corinthians, those of us who know the scriptures, we know that the book of 1 Corinthians, written to the church at Corinth, was a church that had lots of problems. That church had all kinds of problems. As a matter of fact, in chapter 3, the Apostle Paul addresses this area of schisms and divisions and cliques, so to speak, where some said, I am of Paul, and others said, I am of Apollos, and others, the real smug ones, said, I am of Christ. And you recall that. And Paul said, no, that's not the way it should be in the church of Christ. And he addressed that in chapter 3, and he says, don't behave that way. And now in chapter 4, he says, do behave this way. In chapter 3, don't behave that way. Don't have schisms. Don't have divisions. Don't have cliques. Don't say, well, I don't belong with them and they don't belong with me because we're different and they're different than I am. And they said, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. He says, no, don't do that. And then in chapter 4, he says, this is the way you should behave. You should consider yourself a minister. You should consider yourself a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, every single one of us is a minister. Now, you may not have a title, you may not have a degree, you may not have any experience at teaching or preaching or any of those types of things, but every single one of us that's saved tonight is a minister. We're all ministers. Look at 1 Corinthians, look at verse number 1 of chapter 4. It says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Every last person that's saved tonight is a minister. You may not be called pastor, you may not be called teacher, you may not be called evangelist, you may not have a title, but you are a minister if you're part of the body of Christ. Now, in order for us to totally grasp and totally understand what he's meaning here, what the Apostle Paul, what God through the Apostle Paul means here, we have to kind of understand the word that was translated ministers here. And by the way, disclaimer, okay, I believe the King James Bible is the word of God. Amen. If you're with me, say amen. All right. So whenever I preach and I say, well, we're going to look at the Greek word. Listen, I have a hard enough time with English. OK, so I'm not trying to learn another language. Are you with me? But sometimes it does enlighten. It does shed some new light on a word. And sometimes it helps us understand the context. So in this particular passage, the word that's translated ministers is the Greek word huperites. And that word means servant. It means servant. Now, that word also, that word huperites, it means under rowers. Under rowers. Now, think about this, okay? If the Apostle Paul, or if the translators of the King James Bible would have written in there, let a man so account of us as of the under rowers of Christ, we would all be like, what does that mean? What's that talking about? And so they translated ministers, which again, that's what we are. We're servants, we're ministers, but under rowers, under rowers. How many of you have seen the movie Ben-Hur? Anybody seen the movie Ben-Hur? Okay, all right. This is when you respond, okay, you ready? Have you seen the movie Ben-Hur? Okay, amen, there we go, all right. I like to tell jokes, and my wife and our church back in New York would say, Pastor, you have the worst jokes. So if I say a joke, laugh. Just humor me, okay? All right? Needless to say, the movie Ben-Hur. Ben-Hur. You know the scene where he's a slave in a ship. And he's shackled, he's chained to that oar, and he has to row, and that shipmate, that drummer, he's there, and he's banging on the drum. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Those of you that have seen the movie Ben-Hur? Well, that's what this is referring to, the under rowers. You see, we would not understand that. Of course, we do now because we have the movie Ben-Hur, but if we didn't have that, we wouldn't understand that we're all the under rowers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But see, the Corinthian Christians, they would understand it. The city of Corinth in those days, it sat on an isthmus that was joining the southern peninsula to the mainland of Greece. And in Paul's time, it was a great cosmopolitan city. I mean, this was a wealthy place, important Greek city. And the common ships of that day were these galley slave ships. These slave ships where they would have slaves chained and shackled to these oars, and the captain would determine the direction, the captain would determine the destination, and the captain would tell that shipmate how fast he was to beat that drum. And the under rowers, those men that were shackled to those oars, they were to row at the sound of that drum, at the beat of that drum, at the pace of that drum, sometimes faster and sometimes slower. The under rowers, let a man so account of us as of the ministers, the under rowers of Christ. You see, the slaves on those lower levels, they were on those chains, they were on those oars, and that the job that they had was to propel the ship to its destination. Their job was to push and pull and push and pull on that oar to propel the ship. Now, there's five things that the Apostle Paul wants, I believe, that the Apostle Paul points out here in this passage, okay? Point number one, if you like to take notes, if you write down points, point number one is we must keep time. We must keep time. All right, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse number 3. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. He's saying, hey, you're not the one that I answer to. Man is not the one that I answer to. I answer to the captain, the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself. He's the captain of the ship. He's in charge. Okay, look at it. Verse 3 again. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified. Look at what he says at the last phrase there. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. The Lord is the captain of the ship. The Lord is the one in charge. He's the one that determines the direction. He's the one that determines the destination. He's the one that we must listen to. Now, in those galley slave ships, they would row to the captain's beat. The captain would determine how fast the drummer was to beat or how slow the drummer was to beat. And if he sped up, then they were to speed up. If he slowed down, then they were to slow down. Look at verse number 5 of 1 Corinthians 4. Verse number 5. We must keep time. We must obey the captain's orders. Verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. Judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. Now, the question I have for you tonight, Christian, if you're here, if you're saved, you're part of the body of Christ, if you know the Lord as your Savior, the question I have for you tonight is, are you marching to the captain's drumbeat? Or are you marching to your own drumbeat? Are you following the speed of the captain of the ship? Or are you deciding, hey, I'm going to do this on my own. I'll go when I want. I'll stop when I want. I'll minister if I feel like it. I won't minister if I don't feel like it. I'll tithe if I feel like it. I won't tithe if I don't feel like it. Listen, he is the captain. He's the one in charge. He determines our direction and our destination. Let's make sure we're not marching to our own drumbeat. You know the phrase, he marches to the beat of his own drum. I know a lot of Christians like that. I know a lot of saved people. They don't listen to the speed or the pace or how the captain is dictating. No, they do it on their own. They're called Lone Ranger Christians. They want to do it their way instead of doing it God's way. Are y'all with me tonight? Let's continue, all right? The Bible tells us here in this passage that we are to obey the captain's orders, all right? Not only are we to keep time, point number two, we are to keep together. Keep together. All right, look at verse number one again. Verse number one. Let a man so account of us. Notice he says us here. It's plural. Paul is saying it's more than just me. It's me and these fellas. It's me and these other ministers. It's plural here. Look at it. Verse one. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers, plural, of Christ. And stewards, plural, of the mysteries of God. Verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards, plural, that a man be found faithful. And these galley slave ships, some were larger than others. Some had more oars to propel the ship than others. Some had, the ones that were larger, had oars that were up to 30 feet long. Some of these ships had different levels where they would have more than one level of oars and slaves that were chained to that bench and they were on that oar. Now listen, those long oars, it required more than one person to operate that oar. Can you imagine if there's a 30-foot oar and there's three slaves that are attached to that one oar, and the guy in the middle decides, well, I'm going to push. And the guy on the left, he decides, well, I'm going to pull. And the guy on the right, he's falling asleep. You know, he's taking a nap. Can you imagine? They're not going to be very successful. Are y'all with me? That oar is going to cause problems for that ship. They must work together. They must pull and push at the same time. They must be a team. Their effort must be together. Can we make the application for our ministry to the Lord Jesus Christ through the local church? Amen. We got to work together. Amen. Are y'all with me? It can't be my way or the highway. It can't be, well, I want to do it this way, and I don't like the way Pastor does it, and I don't like the way Pastor Pete does it, and I don't like the way this guy does it. No. It needs to be, let's work together. Let's work together. Hey, let's push and pull at the same time. Hey, not everybody's going to have the same job, but we should all be working together. Together. Keeping time, keeping together. Hey, let's work together. Let's not be the Christian that's pushing while the others are pulling. Let's not be the Christian that's pulling while the others are pushing. And let's not be the Christian falling asleep, taking a nap, taking a snooze as everyone else is doing the work, making it harder. Y'all understanding what the Bible's teaching us here? We're all ministers. We're all servants, but let's make sure we're keeping time. We're following the captain's orders. Let's make sure we're keeping together. Keeping together. Number three. Not only keep time, not only keep together, but keep trusting. Keep trusting. All right, look at verse number 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Keep trusting. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 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 Committed. Man, stick-to-itness. Man, be dedicated. Man, have a dogged determination. You have a pastor that's been pastoring, that's been at this church, I don't know, 40 years? However long, he's been here a long time. That's faithful. That's a dogged, you ever think that there was times where he thought about, you know, cutting and running? I bet you there was. You ever thought that maybe sometimes some of you may have gotten on his nerves? I guarantee you there was. But praise the Lord, he's faithful. Praise the Lord, he's faithful. Man, thank God for a pastor like that. Man, thank God for servants that have been here 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, who knows how long. Praise God for the faithfulness of God's people. Amen. Man, praise the Lord for that. It is required in stewards, in ministers, in servants, that a man, by the way, when the Bible says man, that means men, women, boys, and girls, that a man be found faithful. Amen. Faithful. Hey, teenager, if you've got a responsibility, be faithful, amen. Be consistent, be on time, show up, do what you've committed to do. Hey, nursery worker, be faithful. Y'all with me, right, ladies? Be faithful. Man, I'm telling you, you'll do your church, you'll do your pastor, you'll do the Lord a great service if you're in your place when you're supposed to be there and doing the job that you're supposed to be doing. Are y'all with me tonight? Man, be faithful. Just be faithful. Man, are there going to be days when you don't feel like it? Absolutely. Are there going to be days when, man, your health is, man, you're sick? And man, absolutely. We get that. Are there going to be days when you just want to throw in the towel and quit, and people are backstabbing you and people speaking evil of you? Man, you just want to just quit altogether. And God says, be faithful. Be faithful. You see, these slaves in these galley ships, they didn't determine where the ship was going. They didn't determine when it was going to get there. They didn't determine how fast it was going to get there. All they were to do was row, 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 row. When I preached this at our church in New York, I had a canoe paddle, which is not the same as an oar, but that's the best I could get. And so I had that canoe paddle, and I just say, man, we're just worker bees, guys. We're just worker bees. He's the captain. He's in charge. He's the one that determines where we're going, how we're going to get there, and when we're going to get there. It's our job to just keep on rowing, keep on. Are y'all getting this tonight? The ministers are the ones that are faithful in the trivial things. Not the glory things, not the ones where you're put up on the platform and everyone sees you and they applaud you and they pat you on the back. Listen, that's great, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm telling you, the ones that are found faithful, they're faithful in the small things, the cleaning that needs to be done, the working in the nursery, the working on the bus route, preaching at the nursing home. I mean, be faithful. I'm telling you, this is a great church. Praise the Lord for it. But it's because there's a lot of worker bees being faithful. Amen. Being faithful. Just rowing and rowing and rowing. And they're ministers of Christ. They're ministers of Christ. You see, the slave received no honor. The captain is the one that gets all of the honor. By the way, if a slave in one of these galley ships was ever seen, was ever visible, he wasn't doing his job. Y'all with me? He was supposed to be at the bottom of the ship in that galley under where he wasn't seen to the outside world. If he was ever seen by the outside world, somehow he got away and unshackled himself. And he was up on the top part of the boat and he wasn't supposed to be there. He wasn't doing his job. Look at verse number 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse number 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? In other words, hey, keep trusting him. Stay humble. Don't think you're... Let no man think higher of himself. And I'm misquoting the verse. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. I do that all the time. All right. Don't let anyone think more highly of himself than he ought to think. Or something like that. All right. Look at verse number 10. Y'all bear with me. Okay. Verse number 10. I haven't preached in 3 weeks. Amen. Verse number 10. That's my excuse. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place and labor working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. You see what he's saying there? Hey, we're nothing without the captain. We're nothing. We're absolutely nothing. Without the captain, we're worthless. But thank the Lord that in the eyes of Almighty God, man, we're worth more than all of the gold and silver and everything in the valuable on the planet. We're worth more than that to him in his eyes, in his sight. But in and of ourselves, we're nothing. Without Christ, we can do absolutely nothing. Keep time. Keep together. Keep trusting the captain. And lastly, number 4, just keep on tugging. Keep on tugging. These slaves were dedicated to this job for life. If the ship went down, they went down with it. They were there. They had no idea how things were going to turn out. They just had to keep on tugging, pushing, pulling on that oar. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. For I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. Hey, we're in this till death do us part. This is a lifelong commitment that we've made to the Lord Jesus Christ because he's made an eternal commitment to you and I. Y'all with me? You know, when I was 18 years old, November 28th, 1993, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I wasn't looking for God. He was certainly looking for me. Y'all with me? Y'all heard the song, When I Found the Lord? I can't remember the words, but the title is I Found the Lord, you know, and I like the song. It's a good song, but I think it's a little off because I didn't find him. He found me. Are y'all with me? Now, those of you that have been saved since you were toddlers, you know, 5, 6, you turned your life, you repented from your life of wickedness and unrighteousness at 5 years old. For me, I had lots of unrighteousness and a lot of wickedness to turn from. And so I understand how blessed I am. I sing that song, Count Your Many Blessings, and I say, thank God that I'm going to heaven and not hell. Man, thank God that he came and found me before I made more of a mess of my life. I thank God for that. But look at it. Look at verse 9 again. Keep tugging. For I think that God had set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. Look at this next phrase. For we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. We are made a spectacle. A spectacle. You know those things that people wear on their faces when they can't see well? Y'all with me? Spectacles. Glasses, right? Spectacles. We are made a spectacle unto the world. You've heard the saying, sometimes the only Bible that person will ever see or read is you and me. We're made a spectacle unto the world. There are some people, unsaved people out there, that all they know of God is what they see in your life. That coworker of yours who's watching you, oh yeah, they don't tell you they're watching. Trust me, they're watching. They're watching. They see whether or not you pray over your meal. They see whether or not you cheat or you try to, you know, skate by. And they see it. I'm telling you, they see it. We're made a spectacle. By the way, parents, grandparents, your kids are watching. They're watching. Whether or not you think, I'm telling you, they're watching. Trust me, those of you that know, you've had kids grown. Man, I'm telling you, there's things that my kids notice that I had no idea that they noticed. And some were good, and some were not so good. They're watching. We're made a spectacle unto the world. We're made a spectacle. They're watching us. You see, these slaves in this galley ship, they were tied down with chains and shackles. You and I are not tied down to the ship of our master with chains and shackles. Oh, no. No, no, no. The love of Christ constraineth us. That's what we're tied down with. Because he loved us, hey, we love him because he first loved us. We need to make sure that we say, Lord, I don't deserve your mercy. I don't deserve your grace. I don't deserve eternal life. I don't deserve a mansion in heaven. I don't deserve to have any of the blessings you give me, but I thank you for giving them to me. And because you're good to me, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to live for you. Oh, yeah, I'll fall. I'll fall. I'll stumble. I'll make mistakes. But a just man falleth seven times and riseth again. Hey, let's keep on getting up, dusting ourselves off, and get back to rowing. Get back to serving. Get back to giving. Get back to praying. Get back to being involved. Get back to singing in the choir. Get back to singing specials. Get back to volunteering. Get back to being a part of the Sunday school department. Get back to doing what you know God has called you to do and me to do, and let's be ministers for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God expects out of you and out of me. The Apostle Paul said, hey, you guys are bickering. You guys are fighting. Some say, I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Christ. And you got it all wrong. You got it all wrong. It's not about who you are. It's about who he is. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's the captain. He's the master. He's in charge. We're just worker bees. Tonight, I challenge you. Take your hands, grab a hold of that oar, and start rowing. Start rowing. Start rowing. We are the ministers, the servants. We are the under rowers of Christ. And let's help the ship of God's economy get exactly where he wants it to go. Hey, there's people in this greater Cleveland metropolitan area that are watching you, that are looking at your life, and they're influenced either for the Lord Jesus Christ or against the Lord Jesus Christ based on your life. Now, I know that's a lot of pressure. I get it. That's a lot of pressure. But he's worthy of us living a life that honors him. So let's make sure tonight we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we see that the Apostle Paul, God through the Apostle Paul, is saying, hey, be a minister. Oh, I'm not a pastor. That's all right. You can still be a minister. Well, I'm not a preacher. You can still be a minister. I'm not a singer. You can still be a minister. I'm not a teacher. You can still be a minister. We're all ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be found faithful. How about it tonight, church? Let's decide, hey, if you're being faithful, stick with it. Amen. If there's an area where God is poking and he's touching your heart and saying, hey, right here, here's where you need to address, right there. Now's the time. God has spoken. Let's bow together for a word of prayer.